Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone. Sorry for the late start. We'll get back in straight away. The agenda is very full. I've never seen so many motions on a council call since I've been on the council. So we'll get started straight away with a roll call, please. Glenn, if you could help us with that.
Thank you very much, Stefan. I will. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the council call on the 22nd of September. On the call, we have Jeff Newman, Jonathan Robinson, Ching Chow, Adrian Kenderis, Tim Ruiz, Stefan van Gelder, Andre Koleshnikov. Everybody in the contracted party's house is present. We have on the call Zaid Jamil, John Berard, Christina Rosette, David Taylor, Wolf Ulrich Knoben, Jamie Wagner, Rafik Damak, and William Drake is absent, and he has given his proxy to Mary Wong. Deborah Hughes has a temporary alternative as Amber Sterling. Wendy Seltzer is absent, and she's given her proxy to Rafik Damak. Rosemary Sinclair. Mary is not yet on the call. Olga Cavelli, Carlos Aguirre, Alan Greenberg, and for staff we have Rob Hogarth, Brian Peck, Margie Milam, Marika Koenix, Julie Headland, Liz Gaster, myself, Glenda Saint-Cherie, and Natalie Perry-Green, who is our administrative assistant. And have I left off anybody? I think that is everybody. Thank you. Stefan, over to you. It's only Mary who's absent for the moment.
Thank you very much, Glenn, for doing that. Welcome, everyone, once again. We'll move on to item 1.2, which features an update of to Jonathan Robinson's statement of interest. So I will refer you to the agenda online and to the link provided under Jonathan's name if you want to read or review that statement of interest. Thank you to Jonathan for providing it. On item 1.3, I have a request from Zahid, who is joining us at a very late hour for him, to move the wrap item up the agenda a bit so that he doesn't have to stay up as late as he would if we run it in its current agenda position, which is item 6. So would anyone object to me moving item 6 to item 3? Yep. Hearing no objections, we will do that to accommodate Zahid's request. Any more requests for reviews or amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, I will point you to the minutes of the previous meeting that were approved as per our procedures, and you have a link on the agenda once again provided. Please look to the website to see those minutes if you wish to. Any comments on the minutes? Hearing none, let's move to item 2 on the agenda, and I will make this extremely quick. I have shortened this agenda item for this meeting because it's so the agenda is so full. So I've just put a list of the changes from the last pending projects list, and I will refer you to that agenda once again if you wish to check what those changes are. Any comments on item 2? Hearing none, we will then move to the registration abuse item, which is listed as item 6 on your agendas. And it is a motion that is made by Zahid, and I will ask Zahid to read the motion. Actually, I may not ask Zahid to read the motion. Would anyone be opposed to me not asking Zahid to read the motion? It's a very long motion, and I would rather we got stuck in and discussed it rather than asking Zahid to read all the resolved clauses. There are different thresholds linked to some of these resolved clauses, so we will be voting on each resolved clause separately. And I don't think anyone's opposed to me not asking Zahid to read it, so I will move on to 6.2 and open up discussions on this proposed motion. Would anyone like to? Jeff.
Thanks, Stefan, and I want to thank Zahid, too, for posting the red line of the motion. This originally came up for discussion, I guess, in Singapore, and then, although it was not formally presented to the council, so it's never actually been called for a vote. The registries had discussed this motion in Singapore and discussed it subsequently, and we were okay with the way it was in Singapore, but at this point in time, we, the registries, are going to ask for the motion to be deferred until the next meeting. And the primary reason is relating to the portion of the motion that deals with the uniformity of contracts. If you look at everything that's been acted upon by the council and all the motions that have been in place, and even for these, all of the recommendations we've acted on have had unanimous support. This particular one on the uniformity of contracts only had strong support, with a number of contracted parties objecting to doing further work on the uniformity of contracts. And so that's really what's giving us heartburn, but we need to discuss it more. We obviously know there's a very, very, very low threshold to do an issues report, and so regardless of whether any contracted party supports it or not, we know the non-contracted parties can still, if they would like, start the issue report. That's just what the world we live in right now. So at this point, the registries are going to ask for it to be deferred till the next meeting.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. I guess that means Zahid will get to bed a lot quicker than he thought.
So, Stefan, this is Tim. Luis, can we get in the queue?
Go ahead.
So we won't have any other discussion then of it right now. Is that? If we had other questions or issues, should they be brought up now or not?
I think we should have discussion on it if there is discussion to be had.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to just point out that, you know, we discussed this motion within our stakeholder group as well, and some concern was expressed about the resolve dealing with the fake renewal notices. I believe it's the third resolve. And just that, you know, if you request additional information from the registrar stakeholder group, and I think our stakeholder group just wanted to make sure it was understood that the stakeholder group itself does not have access to that information. We're not even sure that individual registrars have access to the information that's being requested here. And I think to some degree we're kind of a little bit in the dark about exactly what information is being requested. It says just about the issue of fake renewal notices, but what kind of information around that is being asked for. So I think at this point we're kind of uncomfortable with that resolve. I think, you know, best case scenario, if it got left in, we just have to respond back and say we don't have this data. And so it seems sort of pointless. So I'm not sure exactly what needs to be gotten to there. I don't recall exactly what's in the actual working group report. Maybe we need to dig back into that a little bit. But I think there's some more clarity around that resolve needs to be made before the registrar stakeholder group is comfortable with it.
Thank you, Tim. Zahid?
Thank you. If I might just try and sort of attempt at explaining what the purpose of the this resolve number three that Tim just raised was. I think what there was a concern, I think, equally on the BC side as well, and other people who in the RPWGO had been, as to, well, what is this, what is the nature and scope, and what is the definition of the data? And I think they were struggling with the whole concept as well. And that is why they suggested that maybe a group of volunteers, because there is no RAPWG, a group of volunteers and representatives, anyone who's interested, say, for instance, including former RAPWG members, could actually participate in trying to sort of flesh out and work on the, well, you know, describing or defining what this data would be, and maybe work with the stakeholder group, the registrar stakeholder group, to do this. And so that was the idea behind this, this blog. I don't know if that addresses your concerns, Tim, but I just wanted to explain what the reason for this was.
Tim, do you feel your concerns have been addressed?
I appreciate the explanation. I think we might need to do just offer maybe a friendly amendment to that. So we'll consider that.
Thank you.
Thanks to the both of you. Any further comments on this? As a reminder, this motion has been deferred, so we will be voting on it at the next meeting. Seeing no further hands, we'll move back to the agenda item 3, which is a motion on the Inter-Registrar Transfer Policy Part B Working Group. And this motion is the first of a series of motions on IRTP that we'll be looking at this evening. As the motion is so short, perhaps, Tim, I can just ask you to read through the resolved clause just to, in the interest of time, if you would.
Sure. The resolved is the GNSO Council requests an issue report on the requirement of sick who is for all incumbent GTLDs. Such an issue report and possible subsequent policy development process should not only consider a possible requirement of sick who is for all incumbent GTLDs, on all incumbent GTLDs, I believe that should read, in the context of IRTP, but should also consider any other positive and or negative effects that are likely to occur outside of IRTP that would need to be taken into account when deciding whether a requirement of sick who is for all incumbent GTLDs would be desirable or not. And that's based on IRTP Part B, the final report recommendation number 3.
Thanks very much, Tim. And I will remind us all that this motion was made at our previous meeting and deferred. So we are considering it today. We are looking at it for the second time. Is there any discussion? Yes, there is. Jeff, you have your hand up.
Yeah, so the registries were kind of split on this one. For the reasons that we had kind of discussed on the last call, and even when I think it may have come up before that, you know, we're split on the fact of doing a full PDP on an issue where there's really only one, three domains, all either operated directly by one registry operator or where that registry operator serves as the back end. So it's really, in our view, kind of aimed at that one registry operator when everyone else, all the other TLDs, including all the new GTLDs going forward, are required to do thick who is. But again, we recognize the very low threshold that's involved, so we realize it'll probably go through. What we ask is that after this meeting, we ask that the council as a whole consider all of the new things that we are going to be doing, not just at this meeting, but in the next couple meetings coming down the pike, because we are really short-staffed in terms of ICANN staff and what they can do, but also in terms of volunteers in the community to address all these subjects. So at some point, we are going to have to prioritize this in some way, either first in, first out, or whatever, however we choose to do it. So we need to figure that out. I personally would put this at a very, very, very low priority because, again, it's only aimed at one registry, but we really need to consider the prioritization. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm not wanting to comment on the issue itself, but I would like to say that in the calls that we do to prepare for these meetings, when we prepare both the council leadership and staff, this issue has come up, the issue of resources, once again, and we are being told in very certain terms that there is a serious resource issue and that the council should look seriously at the work it undertakes. I'm not saying this should not be undertaken. I'm not taking any sides on this issue at all. I'm just telling you what staff has told us, and maybe if staff wants to speak to this, Liz or someone else, then please do so. But I thought it important to let you know of the signals that we're getting from the people that work with us to carry out the work that we vote on and that we initiate at these meetings.
Dr. Hicks, Liz, I would just echo what you say. It's agnostic to the specific issue before us, but it is very much a concern that overall, although you know a couple may or at least one may get delayed, we have three issues reports here, another PDP, and you know two more working group charters. So, and quite a bit more that we're anticipating that we know will be coming shortly. So, very concerned about the workload and the number of projects overall.
Thank you very much for making that point, Liz. I would just inform Adrian that this is not his last meeting, and we have one on the 6th of October, and there is one in Dakar as well. I hope you can make one of those two, and we are going to see several long-standing councillors leave us very soon. And we will obviously be very sad to see you all go, but we'll come back to that later. Is there any more? John, do you have something you want to say on the item three motion number one on our motions list?
Just a question, Stefan. I've been in the room now, I guess this is the third time, and have heard Jeff say the same sensible thing, which is we're talking about a single registry operator. In terms of allocation of resources and roles and responsibilities, would it be easier if we just said that we get somebody from VeriSign to let us know what the heck's going on? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
I think that's a difficult question for us to answer.
Well, you know, in terms of the allocation of staff resources, I mean, I suppose that the sort of the kabuki that we can go through here is to ask for an issues report that'll get us back sort of to the same spot we're in right now, only maybe just having filled in one more box. But, I mean, if we're interested in this matter and we know and they know that it's just about them, can we not at least get together on the side and scope out what can we not frame out what the problem is? I mean,
I understand what you're saying. However, there is a motion.
Tim, could I get in the queue?
Yes. So we can't just ignore it. I understand that what you're saying is trying to find a solution, but some may just want to vote on the motion, so we will probably have to go ahead with doing that. Marika, you're next, then Christina, then Tim.
Yeah, this is Marika. If I can maybe just try to advocate what I believe was the working group's position on this, or the reason why they requested for an issue report. I think the main reason is that they wanted to use the issue report and the potential PDP on this issue to really scope the issue from all different sides and have a community discussion on it instead of bilateral negotiations or discussions with VeriSign. And I think the way it's framed is basically as well talking about it as a general requirement to have fake reviews, because even though, of course, now it's a new GTLD requirement and most TLDs operate a fake reviews requirement, there's no consensus policy on this issue. So I believe that was the reason for the working group to request an issue report. And I don't think any members of the working group are actually on the council, but I'm happy to stand corrected if that's not the case.
Thanks, Marika. Christina, you've put your hand down. So, Tim, you're next.
Yeah, it was somewhat what I wanted to say, too, that I don't think that VeriSign's the only one affected escaped the working group consciousness or anything. I think what, you know, at least from my understanding, what some of the concern was for some of them was that, you know, how do we again have some sort of unilateral discussion with ICANN, with VeriSign, and come up with something that's going to be enforceable, since really it's only, you know, consensus policy that could really push that or force that issue. So I think that's, you know, that has been thought of. So regardless of what this says, you know, all incumbent registries or whatever, we all know, you know, it's primarily talking about the one that isn't thick. But also, again, this is only asking for an issues report. We're not initiating the PDP here. And then also, you know, we have to take some action, whether even if it's that we vote this down, because the working group has done its work, a final report was given to the council, and according to our, you know, the bylaws and our PDP process, we have to take some action, supposedly within a certain amount of time, and that usually gets stretched out a little bit. So we need to take some action here. And perhaps that is that we decide we don't agree, and so we just vote it down. But I don't think we should really try to change the substance of the recommendation at all. We either vote in favor and ask for the issues report or we don't. And if we get the issues report, then we can decide at that point whether, with the resources that are available, it's a wise use of those at that time.
Thanks, Tim. John, do you still have your hand up?
Well, I guess technically I do, but practically I don't.
Okay. Does anyone else want to say anything?
Stefan, it's Christina. I didn't put my hand down. I actually got booted out of Adobe.
Okay, sorry.
So can I speak? and that is namely to essentially agree, you know, just reinforce Tim's point from the perspective of the IPC. I think it would, you know, be ideal if it wasn't necessary to start this process where, in fact, we're to some extent talking primarily about one player. But the reality is the reality. And I think we should also, at least from the registrant perspective, keep in mind that it may only be one player, but it's easily, and I'm sure Jeff will correct me when I estimate wrong, you know, close to 90% of the registrations and existing TLDs are you know, affected here. GTLDs.
Thanks, Christina. Does anyone else want to speak before we vote on this? Seeing no one, would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this? Glenn? Sorry.
I guess you could do a voice vote. But, yeah, okay.
Okay, thanks. So, Glenn, could you do a voice vote, please, on this motion?
Yes, that is the motion one on the adoption of the IRTPB.
Yes.
And may I just remind you that it is an issues report, so it's 25% of both houses or 50% of one house. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed to the motion? Does anybody want to abstain from the motion?
Yes, please. I think the registered reps will abstain. This is Jeff. I'm abstaining.
Jeff, you're abstaining. Could you give us the reason for abstention, please?
Yes, we, again, for the reasons that I stated early on, we believe this is directed just at one member of the registry stakeholder group. We were unable to find consensus within this in our organization, but we respect the working group model, and because the working group unanimously was in favor of this, we're not voting no.
Thank you very much.
Correct. And just for the record, you know, it's Jonathan here. I'm obviously in the same position. So we've discussed it, and that's the position we are taking.
And does that go for Ching too?
Yes, the same position here. Thank you.
So there are three abstentions, and the rest are in favor of the motion. So it passes. Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And we'll move straight on to item four, which is still dealing with ARTP, this time Part C. This is another motion that Tim has made that has yet to be seconded. I will ask you to perhaps read the full motion, Tim. I think it's short enough for you to do that. And we will then see if someone wants to second and then open up discussion, if that's the case, on this motion.
Okay, so okay, that's the right one. So whereas the inter-register transfer policy is an existing consensus policy under review by the GNSO, whereas the GNSO transfers working group identified a number of issues in its review of the current policy, and those issues have been grouped into suggested PDPs, set A through E, as per the Council's resolution of 8 May 2008. Whereas the GNSO Council requested an issue report on IRTP Part C at its meeting on 22 June 2011, see link. Whereas a preliminary issue report on IRTP Part C was published on 25 July 2011 for public comment, see link. Whereas a final issue report on IRTP Part C was published on 29 August 2011, see link. Whereas the final issue report recommends that the GNSO Council proceed with a policy development process limited to consideration of the issues discussed in this report, and the General Counsel of ICANN has indicated the topic is properly within the scope of the ICANN policy process and within the scope of the GNSO. Resolved, the GNSO will initiate a PDP on the issues defined in the final issue report on the inter-register transfer policy, Part C, see link. A working group will be created for the purpose of fulfilling the requirements of the PDP.
Thanks, Tim. And Jeff has seconded the motion, so we can open discussion on the motion. Would anyone like to speak? Would anyone be opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please do a voice vote on the motion.
I will, Stefan. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is there anybody opposed to the motion? Is anybody abstaining from the motion? So the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. So moving on to the next part of this agenda item, there is a follow-on motion. Tim can explain the reasoning for that, but I will just say that you have an explanation in the agenda. The standard practice when we initiate a PDP is to start by creating or convening a drafting team to prepare a charter, but in this case we are trying to be as efficient as possible, and we are dealing with precise issues and issues that stem from work that is already going on. So we the motion proposes that we do not convene a drafting team, but adopt the charter as is and initiate work on a working group without waiting for anything else. So that's what's being proposed. Jeff has seconded this motion as well. So perhaps I can just ask you, Tim, to read the motion itself and not the charter.
Okay. Whereas on 22 September 2011, the GNSO Council initiated a policy development process on the inter-register transfer policy Part C and decided to create a PDP working group for the purposes of fulfilling the requirements of the PDP. Whereas the GNSO Council has reviewed the charter, resolved, the GNSO Council approves the charter and appoints someone to be confirmed as the GNSO Council liaison to the IRTP Part C PDP working group. The GNSO Council further directs that the work of the IRTP Part C Working Group be initiated no later than 14 days after the approval of this motion, until such time as the Working Group can select a chair and that chair can be confirmed by the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council liaison shall act as the interim chair. And I should just explain that I originally was going to put my own name in there, and I'm fine with that. But as I was I have been liaison to the transfer, except that my term ends in the car, and I'm term limited out. So just keep that in mind. It would only be a temporary appointment.
Thanks, Tim. We will call for a volunteer for the position of council liaison if the motion is approved. Is there any discussion on this motion? Is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, if you would, please.
Thank you, Stefan. Just before we do the voice vote, may I bring to your attention that Debbie Hughes has an temporary alternative on the council, Amber Sterling, and Debbie Hughes has just joined the call now. So what would you like us to do about that?
Is Debbie able to vote and speak on the call?
Hi, Stefan. Yes, I'm here.
Great. In that case, we will thank Amber for her services and unfortunately have to ask her to leave us.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Amber. Bye. Thanks for pointing that out, Glenn. And if we can, go back to the vote.
Yes, certainly. All those in favor of the motion, please say A.
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 A. A.
Is there anybody opposed to the motion? Stefan, the motion has passed unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Now, at this point, would anyone like to volunteer to act as GNSO Council liaison to this working group? If not, we will ask for any volunteers to make themselves known on the list after the meeting, and we will take it from there. But
Stefan?
Efficiency. Yeah.
This is Tim. And keeping in mind that there will be new counselors in Dakar, so I imagine, given as close as Dakar is, there's probably not a lot this working group is going to accomplish before then, so even if, you know, at the wrap-up session or something like that after that, someone was asked to volunteer, you know, probably wouldn't be that late.
No, that's fine. That sounds fine. So we will put out a call, Glenn, if we can put out a call for volunteers, and that call will stay open until the new councillors are on the council.
I'll do that. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to item 5, which is a motion to approve the new proxy language on our operating procedures. And the motion has been made by Wolf and seconded by myself. Wolf, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Yes, hello. Would you mind just reading the resolved clauses,
please? Yes, I'm happy to do this. And I'm going to read the following. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council adopts the proposed revisions to Chapter 3 and 4 of the GNSO Council Operating Procedures. There is a link. And to simplify and clarify proxy voting, including three rules. First, it may either be directed, if applicable, by the proxy giver's appointing organization. Second, the proxy giver may instruct the proxy holder how to cast the vote. And three, in the absence of any instruction, the proxy holder may vote freely on conscience. So further, the GNSO Council instructs ICANN staff to incorporate the revisions into a new version of the GNSO operating procedures, which becomes effective immediately upon adoption. And resolved further that as the OSC has completed all of its tasks, the GNSO Council hereby disbands the OSC and its work teams and expresses its gratitude and appreciation to the members of the OSC and its work teams with their dedication, commitment, and thoughtful recommendations.
Thank you very much, Wolf. And whatever happens in this vote, I want to add my own thanks to the OSC and also to staff. This is the last of the GNSO Improvements Steering Committees, the PPSC, that Jeff chaired has already been disbanded. So I think there's a lot of work that's gone into this and a lot of effort, and I want to thank everyone that's been involved in this work, if it is completed tonight, for their efforts. Is there any discussion on this? And thanks, Jeff, for reminding me that, that the PPSC still has the PDP work to complete. Hearing no discussion on this, is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please, would you do a voice vote?
Yes, certainly, Stefan. All those in favour of the motion, please say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed to the motion? Is anybody abstaining from the motion? Hearing no one opposed nor abstaining, Stefan, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And once again, thanks to the OSC. You are now officially disbanded. So I think it's probably cause for celebration. And thank you once again for all your hard work towards the GNSO improvements. Let's move on to item seven. We've dealt with item six earlier on, and this is an item that deals with the joint applicant support, the joint working group on applicant support, the JAS group. The JAS group has worked very hard to produce a final report in time for this meeting, and I'm sure I don't need to go into any detail on what's been happening here. This is a topic that we've discussed often in the last few weeks. So I will just ask Rafiq perhaps to quickly read through the motion. The motion has been made by him and seconded by Olga, and then open up discussion on this motion. Rafiq, are you on the call?
Yes. Just I'm trying to... there is some problem with Adobe Connect.
If you want, if do you want me to read it in your stead, I have the Adobe Connect in front of me.
Yeah. It's okay now. Yeah. So, thank you. Whereas the GNSO Council and DALAG established the joint SOAC working group, JAS working group on support for new GTAD applicant in April of 2010, and the joint SOAC working group released its second milestone report posted for consideration by the board, charting organization, and at-large community. This report documented the completion of work as defined in the extended charter, and the joint SOAC working group received and discussed the public comments, and the joint SOAC working group has completed the enumerated items as defined in its extended charter and has published the final report link on 14th September 2011, covering those chartered items, link, entitled Final Report in the Joint SOAC New GTAD Applicant Support Working Group. And the Joint SOAC Working Group is still in the process of completing some last tasks, including completion of formal documentation of the comments, response for the second milestone community review, and the GNSO Council has not had a chance to review the final report nor digest any of its contents. However, the GNSO Council does not wish to delay implementation of support programs for applicants from developing countries, developing regions, sorry. Resolved. The GNSO Council thanks members of the joint SOAC working group for its effort and its dedication to completing these work items in such tight schedule, and the GNSO Council approves forwarding the final report to ICANN board for review, but reserves its right to provide comments to the ICANN board and all of the recommendation contained in therein, and the General Council requests the ICANN staff to develop an implementation plan following the CHAS Working Group recommendation, subject to comments received from the General Committee. And the General Council requests the ICANN staff publish an implementation plan for public comment prior to consideration by ICANN board, and the GNSO Council requests that the joint SOAC working group complete the publication of its formal milestone to response document as quickly as possible, and the GNSO Council requests that the joint SOAC working group remains on call to review the outcome of the ICANN implementation of CHAS recommendation.
Thank you, Rafiq. Is there anyone that would like to open up discussion on this motion before we take a vote?
Stefan?
Yes?
I think Marika just added the last part of the resolve further, but just that resolve further that the GNSO Council instructs the GNSO Chair to communicate its decision to the ALAC Chair.
Thanks for giving me some work. And I see no hands up. Anyone not on Adobe? Oh, Jeff, sorry. The hands are coming up now. Jeff and then John.
Yeah, I just want to thank the JAS Working Group for all the hard work they've done. I want to thank them for the briefings that they held this week. I was able to obtain one of them, and it was a really good presentation. And I want to thank them for Rafiq and others for accepting the amendments we made so we can move forward on this.
Thanks, Jeff. John?
So I feel a little bit like the skunk at the dinner party here. I appreciate the reserves the right to provide comments. We haven't really had a chance to review it, but we want to go along. I feel like I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. But we had a discussion regarding this in the business constituency on Friday, and the thinking of the members was that the issue of making sure that there are no shortcuts with regard to the technical aspects of running a registry, the encouraging applicants to be able to apply for multiple string versions in multiple languages was two fairly dominant points. And so rather than vote for the motion that reserves the right to provide comments, I'm going to abstain because we will provide comments with regard to at least those two issues and any others that might pop up. The difficulty, of course, is business constituency is totally in favor of the work of the Joint Applicant Support Group. We think that it's important stuff. It's totally within the wheelhouse of ICANN. But we are resolved to deliver, I guess, what I would consider our fiduciary responsibility to make sure that there are no technical shortcuts and that there is this opportunity to support strings in multiple languages.
Thanks, John. Adrian.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, sorry. No, I had some muting issues. As usual, John Barad, in his very eloquent way, has sort of touched on where I was going. But once again, I have to insert the necessary waiver that doesn't make me a social pariah here to say that, of course, all the work of the JAS Working Group, blah, 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 enter nice things here. But I just wanted to say that this motion doesn't sit well with me just from the simple fact of sending something that I haven't had a chance to look at to the board. And we've talked about this before. I just wanted to get it on record that it is a concern to me whenever we're giving information, small a, advice to the board or producing a report of a working group. Now, I know in the past the board have told us, Peter Dengate Thrush did tell us, of course we understand that it's not hasn't been reviewed by the GNSO Council. But I thought that I just wonder whether that's actually the truth, and whether they're in getting the report that they just don't assume that this has been ratified, and that's my concern. And I just wanted to put it out there today. So thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. There is something in the motion that says the GNSO Council has not had a chance to review the final report nor digest any of its contents. So I think there is an attempt to make that the point that you're making.
I understand that. So, Stefan, can I respond?
Yes, of course. Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
I was just making that point for those people that don't have the motion in front of them.
Oh, great. Thank you. No, I acknowledge 100%, and I see that as a great clause in the motion, but I don't know how many board members will actually either A, read this motion, or B, care. I think they'll get the report and treat it as, hey, this is a report that was forwarded from the GNSO Council, full stop. So that's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, to some extent, Adrian is right. This is far from an optimal way to do this. The GNSO Council is in the same position ALAC was for the second milestone report, that we had a very short time frame to make sure it got on the agenda of the board because of deadlines, and we felt it was important to submit it and reserve the right to send comments, in our case, a few days later, but nevertheless, after the report was submitted. People keep on using terms like rock and a hard place. I think those are the wrong terms. This is a moving train, and it's moving, and it's moving fast, and there's an absolute deadline of middle of January to launch the program that no one wants to see delayed. So we've got to make the deadline of the stations that this train is going through, and I don't see any way other than getting this sent to the board to get it on the Dakar agenda and then forward as soon as possible afterwards, but clearly prior to Dakar, with any comments that GNSO wants to add. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Adrian, I take it your hand is up by accident, but... Or did you... Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to add what Stefan had said about, you know, kind of the caveats that are in the motion. But I also wanted to bring up the fact that, look, we already know the board has the report since they discussed it this past weekend or whenever their retreat was. I mean, we do know that, even though we don't have a report as to what actually happened. And we do know, and I guess maybe this is a question for Alan, the ALAC will be voting, and I'm sure they'll vote to forward the report onto the board. So I just want to avoid also the situation of the ALAC forwarding it onto the board, but the GNSO hasn't, kind of avoid all that confusion that was created the last time. So with these caveats that I amended, the motion of, you know, the fact that we haven't reviewed it or digested its comments, and the caveat that the board has already asked ICANN staff to produce a report, an implementation plan in time for Dakar, all of these put together, and reserving the right to comment on that plan, I think addresses, at least from the registry perspective, we're not happy with where this is right now as far as, you know, being rushed to do this, but we just think this is the best way forward.
Thank you, Jeff. Jonathan.
Thank you, Stefan. Since I'm talking straight after Jeff, I'll try and be succinct and make sure it's... But there was certainly acknowledging in our stakeholder group, recognizing the work, acknowledging the sensitivity of this issue and the time pressures and all of that, probably the single biggest theme was in and around the implementation issues. And I understand that more or less, as Jeff has said a moment ago, that's an issue for staff as well. And really, that's going to be the devil in the detail, ultimately, because this is going to have to convert to a practical reality of operating registries according to these guidelines. So that seems to be the theme that our stakeholder group was taking significant focus on, and I suspect is going to be a focal point for both staff, our stakeholder group, and the wider community going forward. So we intend to support the motion, but with those reservations, particularly in and around the practical implementation. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Alan. No, sorry, Zahid.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow on from what John had said earlier. The BC had discussed this notion, and one other reason why we've been sort of, you know, we're maybe abstaining from this notion is that the report basically does not add into it the incentives for upgrade single versions in multiple languages with an application and you know, have those scripts used in emerging markets. This recommendation is, what I understand, in a minority report, and to that extent, therefore, the train may be moving. The availability of multiple strings with one application isn't available. So that may be, I just wanted to mention that that may be one of the reasons we would be abstaining.
Thank you. Adam?
Yeah, two comments. With regard to shortcuts in registry technical capabilities, any registry that goes through the support process still has to go through the full applicant guidebook process, and presumably that process is as strong as it needs to be to make sure we don't have registries that are incapable of meeting their requirements. Nothing in what the Jazz Group has proposed will shortcut the processes in the formal approval process. So, you know, if there are problems in that process, they're there for everyone, not just support-approved applicants. And if that were the case, we need to really worry. Hopefully that's not the case. In terms of multiple language strings, it's one of the things that didn't get through the Jazz Group because there was not unanimity. There was not even a general consensus on how to do it that would meet people's needs. And there are a whole bunch of other things that haven't been mentioned that also didn't make it through. You know, this is not the best of all worlds. This is something that we think is viable within the time frame that we have. So, yeah, yes, it's one of the things missing is multiple strings. It was one of the things I personally would have liked to see. It's not there. I don't think we can change that, and you know, other than people putting in more minority reports and the board deciding to implement something over and above what Jazz has recommended. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. Rafiq?
Okay, I want to thank everybody for their comments and the support of the Jazz Working Group work. We worked hard this summer, which is supposed to be holidays for many people, trying to deliver this report in time for the Geneva Council consideration. About, I'd say, the IDN issues, we talked about it really for a long, long time, maybe more than 1 year. But as Alan highlighted, we didn't reach a consensus that it was more a minority view for really, if I can say, one member of the working group. But I want to say to the all constituency stakeholder groups that the kind of message that you send now can be really, not well, can really bad message, especially before an ICANN meeting in developing countries. I can understand the concerns. We should try to find a solution, but I think abstention can be really bad signal. Bad message. And there is still a possibility to make public comments, that it's still open. We are, for example, still working on the public comments for the second milestone report, and we are going to work on those coming in the next public comments, and there will be the implementation plan that should be prepared by the ICANN staff. So there is still opportunity to comment, to give feedback, and hopefully all these recommendations, or at least some of them, most of them will be ready, will be implemented for the UGTID program when this program will start in January, and then to make this program really inclusive. We are talking about many times about internationalization of ICANN, outreach, etc. Let's to make it real in the ground, and let's stop just giving slogans and mottos. So let's make all this real, and hopefully with the support and help of all stakeholder groups and constituency. Thank you.
Thanks, Rafiq, and thanks for making the first point, which I think was very important. We have thanked the group already, but I think for any of you that have had time to read the report and have seen the addendums at the end, the attendance records for the meetings, there has been a huge number of meetings. Some people have attended more than 80 meetings working on the JAS final report, so there has been a tremendous amount of community work, and whatever happens, we should be very grateful and thankful for that. Does anyone else want to speak? Would anyone be opposed to a voice vote?
I think we should do a roll call. This is Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Glenn, would you please do a roll call vote on this motion?
I'll do a roll call vote on it for you, Stefan. David Taylor.
Yes.
Ching?
Yes.
Jonathan Robinson.
Yes.
Rafiq Damak.
Well, yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin.
Yes.
Wendy, Rafiq Damak for Wendy Salsa, please.
I think it's yes.
Andrei Kolesnikov?
Yes.
Stefan van Velde?
Yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes.
Mary Wong for Bill Drake?
Surprise, yes.
Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Adrian Kindrus?
Absolutely yes.
Jeff Newman?
I'm just, yes, sorry. I was just impressed with Adrian's enthusiasm.
Say Jamil.
Abstain for reasons stated earlier.
John Brown?
I will abstain as well. Same reason.
Rosemary Sinclair?
Yes.
And Debbie Hughes, you are on the line now, aren't you?
Yes, and it's a yes vote.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
There are two abstentions, and the rest are all in favor of the motion. So there are seven votes in the contracted party house in favor of the motion, and there are 11 votes in the non-contracted party house in favor of the motion, so it passes. Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Perhaps if John Berard and Zahid would just send me their reason for abstention. That would help. Thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you, Zahid and John. If you can do that, that would help Glenn with the minutes. Thanks to all of you, and we'll move now to item 8, which is the resolution on consumer choice, competition, and innovation. There's a motion that we have in front of us to try and fulfill this work. And there has been a lot of changes and friendly amendments made to the motion. So some of you may have had difficulty keeping track. The motion was made by Rosemary. It was seconded by Wolf. It's been amended by Tim, and it's being put up by Marika now in, on the Adobe in its amended form. And perhaps, Rosemary, I can ask you to read the amended motion with the friendly amendments if you have that in front of you.
I have, Stefan, and there was an amendment in the third whereas clause. So do you want me to read all the whereases as well?
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
Just so to make it as clear as possible.
Certainly. So this is the motion to create a working group on consumer choice, competition and innovation, the CCI working group. Whereas on 10th of December 2010, the ICANN board adopted Resolution 30, requesting advice from the GNSO, CCNSO, ALAC and GAC on establishing the definition, measures and three-year targets for those measures for competition, consumer trust and consumer choice in the context of the domain name system, such advice to be provided for discussion at the ICANN International Public Meeting in San Francisco from 13 to 18 March 2011. Whereas, since the receipt of this request, the GNSO Council has conducted preliminary work led by Rosemary Sinclair to develop these metrics through various workshops conducted at the Cartagena ICANN meeting and the Singapore ICANN meeting. Whereas, as a result of these preliminary activities, there is a desire to form a working group with any party interested in participating in this effort to fulfill this board request in accordance with the draft charter presented to the GNSO Council. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council directs that a working group be formed to produce a report for consideration by SOs and ACs to assist them to respond to the board request for establishing the definition, measures, and three-year targets for those measures for competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the context of the domain name system. Resolved further that this newly formed working group is not authorised to forward to or otherwise communicate its findings directly with the ICANN board. Resolved further that Rosemary Sinclair shall serve as the GNSO Council liaison for this working group. Resolved further, it is recognised that the Consumer Choice, Competition and Innovation, CCI Working Group, has already met informally and commenced activities in furtherance of this effort. Until such time as the working group can select a chair and that chair be confirmed by the GNSO Council, the GNSO Council liaison shall act as interim chair. And resolved further that the charter is hereby approved for the CCI working group. As specified in the charter, a working group update is to be produced for consideration as soon after the ICANN Dakar meeting as reasonably possible. Resolved further that in the event that no other SA, and I think the friendly amendment removes this last resolved clause.
That's just been removed.
Thank you. So it finishes with a working group update to be produced for consideration. And again, sorry about this, Stefan. We will be actually ready to have this update considered at the Dakar meeting. So the amendment should be changed to working group update at the ICANN Dakar meeting in October 2011. It's an update rather than an update report.
Okay, thanks, Rosemary. Are you comfortable that the motion now up on the Adobe is the one that you have approved with the amendments?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much. I know that this has been a lot of work as well, having followed the discussions on this group's email list. So thanks to all of you who have been involved in this for doing this. And is there any discussion on this motion?
So this is Tim.
Yes, please, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Well, first, I want to thank Rosemary for accepting those amendments as friendly, and then just to confirm that because the motion refers to the charter, and there were some amendments to the charter that I had proposed or asked for as well, and I believe four of those. I think there's the one about the report. I guess I just misunderstood what was meant by the report. So in my request for those changes, number three, I guess, wouldn't apply, but the other four would. And I just wanted to confirm that those changes would be made as well.
Yes, I'm fine with that, with those other three changes being made to the charter.
Great. Thanks, Rosemary.
So, Marika, did you get those changes from the email conversations?
Yes, this is Marika. So the charter will need to be updated separately, and the updated link will then be inserted in the motion afterwards.
Thank you very much. Mary?
Thanks, Stefan. And I want to echo the thanks to Rosemary and the group who worked really hard on this. I'm not sure if mine is a question, more of a clarification. I think the same question came up at the IRTP motions in that Rosemary may or may not be a counselor after Dakar. So I guess it's more of a question in the sense that what will happen between now and then, and then also a note to the council that should Rosemary no longer be on the council, that there would need to be a new council liaison at that point.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, is anyone opposed to a voice vote on this motion? Glenn, please do a voice vote on motion 7.
I will do, Stefan. Everybody who is in favor of the motion, please say A.
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 Is anybody opposed to the motion? Would anybody like to abstain from the motion? Hearing no one opposed to the motion, no one abstaining from the motion passes unanimously. Stefan, thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. So, item 9, and this is also a motion that has been amended. It's a motion that was made by Tim, seconded by Carlos, and it's a little bit long, but maybe I can ask you to read through it as amended, Tim, if possible.
Yes. Whereas the Registrar Stakeholder Group has consulted extensively with representatives of international law enforcement agencies regarding the nature of Internet-based criminal activity and the information and tools available to help address crime that involves the domain name system, and whereas the Registrar Stakeholder Group has reviewed law enforcement proposals and requests regarding registrar cooperation in addressing online crime, and whereas the GNSO Council is prepared to assist law enforcement in its long-term effort to address Internet-based criminal activity, resolved, the GNSO Council requests and issues report on the following possible policy revisions and or additions. 1. ICANN-accredited registrars must provide to ICANN staff, and ICANN staff must keep on record a valid physical address for the purpose of receiving legal service. This record must include a valid street address, city, appropriate region, telephone number, and fax number. Registrars must publish this information on their respective websites and must notify ICANN staff and update their published addresses within 30 days of a change of address. 2. ICANN-accredited registrars must provide to ICANN staff, and ICANN staff must keep on record the names of each registrar's respective corporate president, vice president, and secretary, for the appropriate equivalence of those positions. These data may be made available upon request to a verified representative of a law enforcement agency in a manner agreed to by ICANN staff, ICANN accredited registrars, and representatives of law enforcement agencies. Registrars will notify ICANN of any changes in this information within 30 days of a change. 3. ICANN accredited registrars must publish on their respective websites email and postal mail addresses to which law enforcement actions may be directed. The email address will use a uniform convention, see the example, to facilitate ease of use by law enforcement agencies. Registrars may, at their individual discretion, include language in this section of their website directed to the general public that makes clear the use and expected outcomes of these points of contact and identifies the appropriate points of contact for other forms of business. Requests submitted by verified law enforcement agencies to this discrete point of contact must receive an acknowledgement of receipt from the registrar within 24 hours. 4. Law enforcement agencies provide within 6 months of the date of approval of this policy by the ICANN board and via the general advice of the GAC to the board their recommendations for a database and identification system that allows for expedient identification to a registrar of a law enforcement agency and verification of the contacting party as a law enforcement agency upon that agency's first contact with the registrar. Am I still on?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the end of the motion.
I think Stefan is out.
You might need a vice chair to jump in here.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was actually speaking to myself. Sorry, I was on mute. So, Jeff.
Okay. Hey, Tim, I was just reading, so I'm glad you guys had changed it to an issue report. So I guess it's going through the PDP process. Question is on number 4. Is it, now that it's an issue report, is number 4 kind of a little awkwardly worded? And so they're not approving the policy, or is there some other wording that we need to do there just to kind of?
Yeah, this is Tim. I think the idea was that that as a part of the issues report that we would leave it because it's something that needs to be considered as to, you know, its practicality. And I know it probably will end up not being necessarily, you know, within scope of consensus policy, that kind of thing. But something that somehow along the way needs to be considered because if that can't be done, you know, it'll affect whatever result and policy comes out of this. Or it could affect it.
I'd like to get into the queue, please.
Adrian, yes. I have Zahid, Alan, Christina, and Adrian. Zahid.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to say that the BC discussed this and they haven't had enough time to consider these substantive recommendations, and so then we'll be requesting a deferral of this motion, but it may help to nonetheless seek some clarifications. One was this work is basically the work done by the registrar stakeholder group, and one of the questions that was asked was, does this sort of make work done by one stakeholder group sort of a genus of policy? It's not sort of necessarily bottom-up, and if someone could sort of help with that issue and going back to members and explaining that this is in some form bottom up. The second question would be, Tim, have you had any input on this motion from, say, law enforcement agencies? And if you have, would you be able to share any of that so it can help us also form our view in the BC?
Yeah, I can give a quick answer to both of those, I think. First is that's why we... Your first question, I mean, that's why we changed it to a request for an issues report, because we kept getting that feedback that this appeared as an attempt for a, you know, to kind of go around the established policy processes and concerns about, you know, not enough community input and those kinds of things. We had kind of thought of it a little bit differently, but we understand those concerns, so that's why just ask for an issues report, then we would do, typically then ask for a PDP to begin. Hopefully, this wouldn't take long. That'd be our goal. But then that way all the rest of the community would have an opportunity for input, and we could come up with policy that we could support then as being consensus. So that's the reason we made the change. The other issue, as far as the substance of these things that we're looking at, I think that from my knowledge and discussions that the law enforcement is on board with what we want to do here, I think that they were clearly hoping that there's some other way this could get done without having to do policy development process. And quite frankly, we're just at a loss at how to do that without bringing it into question later as to how it got there and not making this look like it's a top-down thing or just something one constituency is promoting. So I think, would they like to figure out a quicker way? Yes. But I think the substance of what's being talked about here, they are in favor of.
Tim, would you be comfortable sharing some of that, any of that information, any sort of feedback, et cetera, on the council list? I don't know if any of it is confidential. If that's possible, it would help a lot. Thank you.
Thanks to both of you. Alan.
Yeah, I originally put my hand up to ask Tim why the reversal, because I was the one on the list who originally raised the issue that I thought this required a full PDP, and Tim came back with what I thought was a very astute analysis of why it didn't require a PDP, and I was quite pleased that there was a possibility of getting this done on a much faster path than a PDP. So I, at some level, I consider it unfortunate that we're not trying to exercise that faster path. I understand the level of suspicion, but I don't think there's any law against a single stakeholder group having a good idea and putting it forward. I don't think we should be...
I don't agree on this. Unfortunately, right now, it's kind of like whenever registrars have any idea, there's a lot of suspicion.
I understand.
I would have thought... I had a theater unit there, I guess, but
Tim, I would have thought that might be one of the things that could help allay that feeling, but I guess not. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks. Christina.
Two things. First, just to note that if the BC hadn't requested a deferral, that we would have for somewhat similar reasons. And I guess the question that I have for Tim is that it appears that to some extent the substantive provisions in terms of the resolve clauses and as far as what the issues report would cover tracks to some extent the law enforcement proposed amendments to the RAA. And I was hoping that perhaps you might be able to, or at some point before our next discussion of this motion, the registrar stakeholder group could identify what its position is with regard to the law enforcement proposals that are not included in the request for the issues report.
Adrian?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to, and Tim, I do apologize for not picking this up in the internal discussions we had, but just reading this motion again, I think we just need to be careful, if we can, about standardizing the approach of international law enforcement where it's used throughout the motion, and then B, understand that we correctly identify who exactly we're talking about, because it's a fairly broad term, and whilst at the start of the motion it doesn't really matter so much, because you're talking about just whereas we've consulted representatives of international law enforcement agencies, towards the end of the motion it is stated that requests submitted by verified law enforcement agencies. Now, is that verified by way of the request, or is that verified by way that the law enforcement agency that is contacting you verified? So is it, I'm trying to say, are you verifying the legitimate request, or as in I could set up an email address now and say I'm the FBI and send you that request, so you would want to verify,
and B, the agency that is contacting you could be anybody. And globe over, I'm sure that there is not a consistent approach to who is indeed law enforcement. And in some places in the world, that could change daily. So I just think we need to potentially tighten up some of that language if that's helpful.
Thank
you. Yeah, certainly. And I think with the deferral, that gives some time to look at the language and perhaps make it a little bit cleaner. But those are valid points, Adrian, and things that we've talked about both amongst ourselves with law enforcement and others. So good questions. And just quickly to respond to Christina, I think registrars are committed to continue to work with law enforcement as best we can to get what they need, as we are with the rest of the community. And in some cases, when those things deal with things that are clearly within scope of consensus policy, then it looks like that's CBT. If there are things that are not, and then we can look at other ways in which we might be able to deal with those or provide what's needed. So we're still committed to that. And yes, that's about all I can really say right now.
Thank you. Any further comments? So there's been a request by the BC to defer. We shall honour that request and move on to item 10 on the agenda, which is a motion on the Who is Survey drafting team. And it's a motion that's been made by Wendy and seconded by John Berard. Wendy, could you possibly read the motion for us? Or maybe just the results clauses if you feel the motion is too long.
Stefan, Wendy's not on the call. This is Mary.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. And you're acting Wendy, aren't you?
No, I got Bill today, so it's Rafiq.
You got Bill. So who's acting Wendy?
Rafiq.
Rafiq, could you read the results clause on this motion, please?
Stefan, Rafik's on mute. I can't get him off. There he is.
Yeah. I am here. Okay. So the only the resolved part?
Yes, please.
Okay. The GNSO Council convenes a OE Survey Working Group, WSWG, of interested volunteers to draft, implement and analyze the results of a survey measuring the level of support for various technical requirements outlined in the final inventory of the OE service requirements report of 29 July 2010. The GNSO Council further approves the proposed charter for the OE survey working group as defined here, link. In accordance with this charter, the OE Survey Working Group plans to produce a draft survey to be delivered to the GNSO Council for approval by March 2012. Following approval, the OE Survey Working Group plans to then conduct this survey for a period not less than 30 days, delivering a draft report describing survey results and recommendation for next steps to the GNSO Council.
This is
Tim, I'd like in the queue.
Okay. Adrian, is your hand?
No, mate, I'll put it there. Sorry.
Okay, fine. Tim, please go ahead.
You say I have to apologize first to Wendy and others because I just didn't get to this as soon as I would like to have. And I think that's probably true of our stakeholder group in general, so we'll probably ask for this to be deferred. Well, we will ask for this to be deferred. But just with what time I have had, I thought that we had requested a drafting team, that we call for volunteers to form a drafting team to create the survey. And now what the drafting team did was develop a charter to form a working group to create the survey.
just wondering how we got from where we started to where we are. It seems like I'm missing something in there somewhere as to why we're forming a working group to do this now versus the drafting team that I thought had already formed to do it in the first place.
I can speak to that, Stefan. It's Liz, if you'd like me to.
Thank you, Liz, if you would.
So, Tim, I think there's two issues here. One is just terminology. We really have not been particularly precise with our use of the term drafting team, which I think, you know, as Stefan and I have talked about, I think Stefan's, you know, perspective is that's really focused on drafting teams for charters. Sometimes we've had drafting teams for other small groups where the work is very short, like to draft a motion, and the team is very short-lived. But I don't think that's going to be the case in this case, and that's really why I urged the drafting team to charter as a working group, because I don't think this is a short project. I think it's actually quite complex to do the kind of critical survey that Aubrey and Chuck had in mind and specifically called out to be done. And I think that also when you drafted or discussed the request for a drafting team, there was no discussion about what happens after the survey is done. It just called for a drafting team to create a survey. And, you know, in discussions with the drafting team and, you know, my experience with this, you really need to have a group that is also, or, you know, a assignment to analyze the survey, figure out what the results of the survey are saying. And if it's a group that is going to be sort of accountable for the development of the survey, I kind of think that group needs to be accountable for the interpreting the results of that structure. And I was particularly concerned that that not be unassigned or unclear, because I think if staff had that job at the end with the group creating the survey at the beginning, that would not be the best outcome. So I thought that the and I think the group concluded and agreed that the a charter should be done and a working group should be proposed back to the council to make clear what the scope and magnitude of the work is. And you see, we're not even committing to having a draft survey for council review until March of 2012, and frankly, that's ambitious because of the lack of participation that we've had and the sort of slow start, because we still don't really have the broad community participation in this group like so many others that we'd like to have. Thank you. Happy to answer more questions.
Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz. That helps, I guess. We still need time to kind of review the charter a little bit closer and then to consider a couple of these things, because I guess I'm not sure that we're comfortable with the working group actually conducting the survey. Perhaps that's just kind of a misnomer, but that, you know, something like that would be, you know, more with a professional third parties or whatever, that would be probably more, once we've developed it, that we could be worked with to develop it, that would actually conduct it, and then, you know, it could also then be used to help put the results together in some form of meaningful way, because I think probably the individual stakeholder groups will want to kind of decide how to interpret the results themselves. So at any rate, that does explain things, though. So we're talking about the same team we put together. It's just that now they want a charter because it's more involved than what was originally thought. So I understand that better. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Any further comments? This motion has been deferred by request, so we will consider it at our next meeting and move on to item 11. Which is the first of our discussion items for this evening. We've done all our motions, and this discussion item is on the new GTLD, June the 20th board resolution. As you'll remember, part of that resolution contained a request by the board for us to have a look at the Red Cross and Olympic Committee issue of requesting names to be reserved for those two organizations, and there was the part of the resolution that referenced that request is in the agenda. It reads, just the last part reads, incorporation of text concerning protection for specific requests from the Red Cross and the IOC for protection for names for the top level only during the initial application round until the GNSO and GAC develop policy advice based on the global public interest. As a result of this, you'll remember we did discuss this at our previous meeting, and Kurt Pritz from staff then sent us and the GAC a letter, which was a position paper or an explanation of the way staff saw the issue. And following on from that, we had a letter from Heather Dryden, the GAC chair, which was sent to the council giving the GAC position. So at this stage, I think it's crucial that we should discuss the letters that we have received and possibly try to work out our next steps on this issue. Who would like to lead the discussion on this? Or start it, sorry. Jeff.
Yeah, I'm glad you changed it from lead to start. I guess on this one, I think we, and what I was thinking in trying to set up the meetings for Dakar was to just set up a joint session with the GAC at Dakar to go through their positions and spend part of the weekend, or spend, I should say, before the GAC meeting, talking about, you know, within the GNSO, our position on this. I'm not sure I'm prepared to talk any more about this from a registry perspective at this meeting, but I think it's a good topic to talk about at the face-to-face.
Thanks, Jeff. Mary?
This is Tim. Get in queue.
Yes.
Thanks, Stefan. This is more of a process question, I guess, and it may just be that I didn't read the communications correctly and need to go look at the bylaws and consult more people. But I'm wondering if this is something the GAC, the letter that Heather sent back in response to the letter from you and Kurt, or the letters, does that constitute GAC advice in any way? And if so, then is the GAC providing advice to the GNSO Council versus the board? It's more of a process and a substantive question at this stage, but I can tell you that some of my members have been concerned at the appearance of this and what it means. That's why I raise it.
Thanks, Mary. I can give you my own view, but my own view is that it is GAC advice and it is sent to the GNSO, and the GAC is able to give advice to the GNSO. The GAC doesn't only have to give advice to the board, but and I would also point out that the letter you referenced wasn't from me. It was only from Kurt. I have not written a letter, but perhaps others will want to chime in. Alan?
Yeah, on that last question, I think the GAC can give advice. The GNSO, I don't believe, according to the bylaws, is bound to follow it as the board is. But that doesn't stop anyone from giving advice. People give all sorts of advice that's ignored. I think with regard to the substance, there, we need a little bit more specificity. I know I've been having a private discussion on exactly what does the wording in that letter mean, and it's not 100% clear that everyone has the same view. You know, specifically, it asks for a whole bunch of names of the Red Cross in various languages and related organizations to be put into the reserve name list. The reserve name list, as it's currently implemented, restricts that particular name, but not other ones using it. So the GNSO is a four-character string in the reserve names list, but GNSO Council is a perfectly valid second-level domain. And I think there are different perceptions about what the reserve names list means, so I think we need to get in writing what people think this means before we go off and start doing work on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. If your point is referencing the reserve list that's currently in the applicant guidebook, which is a list of reserve names at the top level, is that the point that you're making?
I'm talking about second level. I'm talking about the ones that go into registry contracts.
Okay, and though that is the type of name that the GAC letter is referencing as well.
Exactly, and it's not, the current implementation does not seem to be what they, at least what some people who have been party to those discussions think it means. So.
Yeah, thank you. Adrian.
Yeah, I just wanted to pick up on what Alan said earlier. I think that there's probably two things need to happen here. One, Stefano, it would be good if you could clarify with the GAC that they understand that giving us advice doesn't mean the same as what it, when they give advice to the board, because potentially, arrogantly, they do, and would think that we have to, when they say jump, we say how high. If that's indeed my understanding is correct. The second one would be that we as a council, just to highlight Alan's point, understand that just because the GAC have asked us to do something, we don't have to necessarily do anything with it. So I just want to make sure that we, you know, when we look at the board and we watch them get petrified because the big old mean GAC has asked them to do something and that, you know, they have to sit there and spend hours responding to them, we're not in that same boat, I don't think. And I think that we should all remember that. That's not to be disrespectful. Of course, we can listen to their concerns. And as Alan said, everyone's able to give the GNSO advice. I just want to make it clear that how that advice is received and sent should be very, very clear for both the sender and receiver, and that in this case, it is lowercase a advice and not uppercase a advice, if my understanding is correct, and I'm happy for someone to correct me.
Hey, Stefan, this is Jeff. I got kicked out of Adobe. Can you put me in the queue?
Yes, I will, Jeff. I just wanted to say, Adrian, that the question you ask is one that I will chase up and try to get an answer for the council, whether our bylaws or the ICANN bylaws, which I must admit I haven't learned off by heart yet, require us to react to GAC advice in the same way that the board is required to. My gut feeling is that the answer is no, as everyone else seems to think on the call, but I will check on this and get back to the council as soon as I can. And I do also want the council not to be, I know this is important, but I also think we have received a request from the board, and that is a request we cannot ignore, and we know we cannot ignore it. So I'd also like us to discuss possible ways forward on this issue following the request from the board. Jeff?
Yeah, I was going to say that I agree with Adrian. The bylaws only provide for the GAC providing advice with a capital A to the board, not to any of the supporting organizations. So we do not have to, according to the bylaws, consider it like you would, or like the board has to consider GAC capital A advice. That said, I do think, you know, look, if you look at their the title of what they sent us, it's a GAC proposal. So, you know, any advisory committee has the right to request that the GNSO take up an issue. And I do not think we should ignore this. I think it's very important. I think we should encourage this type of dialogue. It's something we've been kind of asking for a long period of time. So whether it's capital A advice or lowercase a advice, I strongly recommend we meet with the GAC, INDICAR, discuss this subject beforehand and during that meeting and take them up on their offer to be consultative, because this is, to my knowledge, the first time they've really reached out to us to do this.
And, Jeff, you are working on our Dakar agenda, so you will be able to make sure that meeting happens?
Yes, that's what I've been working on.
Have you had any... because we'll remember that we did not meet with the GAC in Singapore. And I think we were all hoping that we would in Dakar. Have you had any response from them?
Yeah, so the response we've had is yes, they would like to meet with us. And I'm trying to get it right now from the last thing in the afternoon to something shortly after lunch so that we're all awake and we can all have a productive discussion as opposed to the usual where we come in, everyone's exhausted, and nothing gets done. So that's what I'm working on, is trying to move it a little bit earlier in the day.
Thank you very much. Alan?
Yeah, just say, Stefan, did you get me in the queue?
I'm sorry, Tim. I have to admit I forgot about you.
I'm sorry. Tim, why don't you go first?
Tim, please go ahead.
I was just going to two things. First, agree with Jeff, because I think that while we don't have any, you know, commitment to respond in a particular way to the GAC's advice, I think, again, you know, would we rather be getting it now where we can deal with it and, you know, meet with them and take some appropriate action, or after we've taken action, then they, you know, way down the road, they give advice to the board and everything gets turned topsy-turvy. So we certainly don't like that. So I think we should be appreciative that we've got that the GAC does actually, is able to actually directly give us advice that we can take into account as we do our work. But I think that as far as the way forward, the only thing I want to caution against is that we've been doing a lot of things, at least in my opinion, in the name of implementation issues along the way with this new GTLDs. And I guess, you know, we're getting things done. It's just rolling out, so maybe it all wasn't so bad. But on the other hand, you know, we should be careful that when we're talking about things that are actually GTLD policy, that we manage that appropriately and take it seriously. So, you know, this reserve names thing, this was something that was a part of the whole new GTLD PDP. In fact, you know, there were several working groups that worked diligently on these issues. And so now to just, you know, treat this lightly and come up with some quick solution, I think would be, in my opinion, a slap in the face to all of us who've worked so hard on all this. So while I want to respond, and we need to take it under consideration, I don't think it's something that can be resolved quickly, and I do think it is a policy issue and should be dealt with that way appropriately.
Thanks, Tim. Alan?
Yeah, I may be forgetting the sequence of events, but my recollection is the board reacted to the GAC with an interim measure regarding top-level domains and instructed the GNSO to work on the issue, overall issue, because they said they were restricting top-level domains pending the GNSO investigating. The GNSO looked at the words in the resolution and in the GAC scorecard and said, "We don't quite understand whether this is first level, second level. What are you talking about, guys? I don't think I imagined that discussion." And we asked the GAC to please tell us exactly what you mean with more detail. So I don't think this came out of the blue. I think we asked for it. And maybe I'm living in a parallel dimension and none of this happened, but I think that was...
Yeah, and then, Tim, this is Alan, and I think it very specifically deals with the second level, right?
Yeah. Well, there was some discussion.
In the letter, they more or less take the top level as a given already. You know, the board's already agreed on a moratorium, so we're talking about second level. I think that's exactly what the letter says.
My understanding in the GAC scorecard issue was they were only talking about second level. The board tossed them first level also, which I don't think was particularly needed, but they put that out and instructed the GNSO to look at the overall issue. We specifically didn't know whether they were talking about second level or not because the words didn't say that, and we asked for more details. So I think we asked for this.
But it's clear that the top level protection has been put in. It's in the final, whatever.
But it's not clear they were even asking for that.
Yeah. So we're certainly looking at the second level now. Christina.
I guess just picking up on something that Alan said earlier, and namely that there seems to be some uncertainty, that some folks have questions about, you know, what is meant and certain interpretation questions. And it would seem to me that I do think it's a good idea to allocate some of our joint meeting in Dakar to this, but I also think, frankly, it would be much more efficient all the way around if there are, in fact, such questions or requests for clarification, that we get those identified and communicated to them well in advance of that meeting, so that we're not spending that meeting getting clarification, that we're spending that meeting kind of talking through the issue on which they have provided us, and again, I do think it's lower KA advice, to advance the ball on this.
Thank you. The feeling, what I'm getting from the conversation is that our next step is to try and put together the questions, the clarification questions, or the points that we want to raise with the GAC during our joint meeting, and that where we are really positioning this joint meeting as our next step on this. Is that a fair summary of what you have all been saying? And if it's not, please say so. If it is, we will assume that's the case, and Jeff will be able to work that into the agenda, possibly. Good? Okay. Is there any other business? And we certainly didn't expect the meeting to be over so quickly. We still have 10 minutes of our scheduled time left. So if anyone does have any specific issues they want to talk about, there is time. One might be our Dakar agenda, but Jeff, I don't know if there is any further updates on that. So I don't want to put you on the spot. I see you have your hand up, so perhaps there is something.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So we've taken, we're going to try some new things in Dakar from all the feedback we had from Adrian and John Berard and a bunch of others at the last meeting in Singapore, and I know they've been discussing it. So we're going to try some new things with the meeting, including making it much more, what's the word I'm looking for, much more public participation at the beginning. My hope is to send the ideas for the draft agenda to you guys by next week. I'm having a follow-up with ICANN staff to make sure that we can actually set this up and that we have the times that we think we do have. So, again, it's going to be a lot of trial and error at this one. If you don't like it, let me know beforehand. If you don't like it afterwards, let me know then. But we're going to try out some new things, and hopefully it'll be a much more exciting type of meeting.
Jeff,
right. I think Christina was. Oh, sorry, my Christina's put her hand down. I have Olga, Jonathan, Liz, and you, Adrian, if possible. Olga.
Yes, thank you, Stefan. Just to remind that the revision of the outreach document. We have only received comments from the registry stakeholder group, and we plan to reconvene the working team to review these comments, perhaps in 1 or 2 weeks. So if comments are done, they would be welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga. Jonathan.
Thanks, Stefan. I just thought I'd make a very brief comment on the work of the drafting team we're trying to do on the joint working groups. Finding it reasonably challenging to make progress, and that's due to a number of factors, but it would be, I just want to encourage anyone who's on that group to join us on a couple of calls before Dakar, which we're going to try and hold, and second, to open it up to anyone else who would like to join in, who feels they've got something to contribute or can help move it along. So that's really just an appeal for anyone who's got a bit of time on their hands and or interest in the subject of these joint working groups and their effective functioning within the structures and you know, forming our GNSO view on that. It would be great to have your input. So thanks for that.
Thanks, Jonathan. I forget if it was Adrian or Liz next. So I suppose ladies first, Adrian.
No, Adrian can go first. That's fine.
Adrian?
No, mine was just a ridiculous comment. Going to be to Jeff to make sure that my tribute
wasn't too long. I am prepared to make a speech if you just want to put that in there. My speech should probably be a PowerPoint presentation. I only go for about 25 to 35 minutes. So just make sure you include that in the agenda. It'll be a moving sort of roller coaster, emotional, but you know, I think it'll work well. So thanks.
But that's the show you're doing every day at the car week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be somewhat of a celebration of Adrian's exposure to the GNSO Council. So it's probably a week. It's more like a festival. It's a Adopalooza, I think we're calling the car. So please come along.
Okay, so we definitely need music, Jeff.
I got it.
Liz, can you follow that up with something?
No. I know, and I've been outdone. But I will echo Jonathan's sentiments about feel free to join up or encourage more participation, not just in that group, but in a number of the groups that really need greater participation. And I just want to note again, we do now have a new issue report as a result of this meeting. And in the absence of direction from the council in terms of prioritization, I'm really going to manage things as best we can on a sort of first-in, first-out basis. We're not going to pick up this work right away. We can't until we finish some other papers that we're winding down on. But we will keep you updated, and if you would like to engage in any kind of prioritization of what we're doing now or in the future, we'd appreciate your guidance.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. Very important points there, and it is very important for us to know, for the council to know that staff is managing this on a first come first served basis. In a way, you already have a very full plate, so any more that's added to that it has to be done after the current work has been completed to some extent. Christina?
This is actually a question about logistics for Dakar, and I don't know if it's too early for this question. If so, I'll just table it till our next meeting. But in terms of remote, I guess two questions, both of which come from IPC members, because the vast majority of the IBC will be participating remotely. And I guess the first question is that has there been a discussion as to whether or not we are moving back the start time of our working meeting on Saturday? I know that a lot of the flights get in the wee hours of the morning, so I wasn't sure if we were planning to do that. And I guess the second question is that more generally, and I think this is probably a question for ICANN staff, is do we have information as to what specifically is going to be available in terms of remote participation?
So it's questions for Jeff and staff.
So on the first question, no, we were not planning on moving back the start time because there's a lot of subjects to cover. With that said, if everyone's got their travel arrangements already and, if we could take a poll as to when people are getting in, that would be instructive. This is the first time I'm here. I mean, I know that there are certain flights that get in the morning, and I know that's why I'm going a day earlier. But if there are a lot of people, then that's something we should know. It's not something we've heard yet.
Regarding the remote participation, Glenn can add, but my understanding is there'll be all the remote participation mechanisms that we've had in recent prior meetings with Adobe Connect and chat rooms and opportunity for Q&A with folks participating remotely. But I know of nothing beyond that or nothing special beyond that. And if you have a specific question, I'd be happy to forward it to our participation and engagement senior director, but need to have better understanding of, what you're asking.
Sure. Thanks, Liz. I'll follow up with you separately.
Thanks. If people do have specific time issues, please let Jeff know or let myself know, and I'll pass it on, or Mary. And if we need to adjust the agenda accordingly, we can, of course, try and do so. But the sooner we know, the better, because, as you know, we have to send the agenda to the staff planners by the meeting planners by a certain time, and the closer we are to the date, the harder it gets to move things around. So I think we've come to the end of our meeting. Are there any further comments on anything? If not, thanks to all of you. We are ending bang on time, and we will have another meeting on, if memory serves, I think it's the 6th of October, and then we will see most of you in Dakar. No, not everybody will come, but I hope those that don't come can participate remotely, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Dakar that will be there. Thanks once again, and speak to you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, Stefan.